May I speak in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, welcome to you all this afternoon, and many of you will have had services here at St. Mark's or at the crematorium that the clergy have taken from this church. Some of you will perhaps have met us through the Woodland Burial Ground, which Linda, who did our first reading, is administrator for. Some of you will have been visited by folks from our partnership who do the pastoral care team, and Sylvia, who did the second reading, was one of the folks who shares in that ministry. And Mary, who does our prayer, who will be doing our prayers a little bit later in the service, looks after our garden remembrance here at St. Mark's. So in all these different ways, we have contacts with you, and it is really a privilege and a pleasure to welcome you here this afternoon as we gather together and remember those whom we've loved and lost and are no longer with us here today, but certainly who are with us in spirit. A week or so ago, I was telephoned by an interviewer from the BBC, and he was working on a piece about the proliferance of shrines at the roadside. And he asked for my views on these places along the roadside where people leave little flowers or small crosses and to remember somebody who has died. Quite surprisingly, before I answered, perhaps trying to give me a steer in the right direction, he told me that really he thought that these were unnecessary. And he said that he thought that the place for grieving and expressions of grief in this kind of way were in the cemetery and not at the roadside, you know, kind of fence it in and contain it within the graveyard. And I didn't really need to think very long before I made it clear that I totally disagreed with him. I'm troubled by a society in which we're so uncomfortable with displays of grief, with the sense of loss that many people feel when somebody's died. Our dead do not cease to exist in our hearts. Neither do they depart from the love of God. So why should we ever forget them, or why should we ever feel that our remembrance should be constrained within the cemetery? I looked at the website of Break, which is the road safety charity. I just wanted to get some ideas what other people thought. You know, I thought, am I completely off centre here? Am I extreme? And no, they were absolutely adamant that they believe that if people wish to place flowers and other memorials to remember people who have died, then people should be allowed to go ahead and do that. The only thing that I agreed with that they mentioned was that it would be better to not put plastic around them, you know, because that just created litter. But if you have flowers, and we do this at the Woodland Burial Ground, we say, please leave flowers, but don't wrap them up in plastic and stuff, put some raffia around them, and then they can just die naturally, and they're not a litter hazard. But they were saying how important it is that we should have opportunities to grieve in lots of different kinds of ways, and that such gestures and ceremonies are really important to honour those who have died, and to show how significant these folks have been in our lives. And it's part of a grieving process. And if you try to stop it, if you try to regulate it, then you're just interfering with grief and making things much, much worse. And especially if someone's died in a road traffic accident, and you know, violent and unexpected. Put flowers wherever you please. Leave them. Pay tribute. Remember. And feel happy to do so. Such open displays of grief are an intrusion to some folks. They want to regulate our mourning, our grief. I'm unhappy even with, you know, some of the things that are said at funeral services. And I know that they express some emotions which are important. But, you know, death is nothing at all. It some parts of the reading are okay, but other parts of it I want to cringe because I want to stand up and shout, but yes, it is. Death is, oh wow, it's so much. How about that one? You can shed tears that she is gone, or you can smile. You know, I think, well, in a sense, I want to do both. I'm certainly going to shed tears. I can't just cheer up. I don't like cheer up readings. I don't think they're real. I don't think they're realistic about ourselves and how we feel. I don't want to wallow in misery. They've gone to a better place. Kind of readings just don't express, though, the kind of loss that we have when we lose somebody so important in our lives. We do shed tears. We have every right to do so. Death is particularly unpleasant. It's perhaps the worst thing that any one of us can experience. And for that reason, we can light candles, we can leave flowers, we can do whatever we feel is appropriate to remember those people who have had significant parts of our life. And if society's uncomfortable about that, well, so be it. That's not our problem. Some people think the expression of emotion is a weakness. It really, really isn't. We admire people who hold it together at funerals. Why? Why do we do that? The Christian writer and theologian C.S. Lewis, he wrote following the death of his wife, "An odd byproduct of my loss is that I'm aware of being an embarrassment to everyone I meet." Christian teaching is actually very helpful for those who've been bereaved, because it doesn't pretend. The Christian scriptures teach us that grief is real, and that we are right to be angry and upset when we lose someone who's special to us. Jesus himself cried at the death of Lazarus, his friend. We must never forget that. Jesus didn't try to explain it all away, some pious platitude, you know, only the good die young or something. He cried. Jesus had real tears like ours. At every funeral service I take, so you'll be able to catch me out now, you see, if you thought that this wasn't true, but I assure you, at every funeral service I take, I pray for those who mourn, the family. And I use a prayer, and in it I say, "Visit them with your comfort and peace. And after a time, wipe away the tears from their eyes." After a time, because we will all cry and mourn, because we have such a deep sense of loss. It's a recognition that God is with us in our mourning and our sorrow. Not taking it away, but going through that time of loss with us. Not saying, "Cheer up," but sharing with us in our pain and our loss. Not chivying us up, but being alongside us. The Bible offers solid comfort because it does take death seriously. It doesn't pretend that it's of little consequence, or that we can get over it in a few weeks and just get back to work. Death is recognized in the Bible for the enemy that it is. The Bible talks about it as not being part of God's plan, that God doesn't want it. So much so that God sent Christ to die and rise again to bring to us life beyond death, so that death can have no more dominion, so that death can have its power broken. It's of enormous importance to remember those who have died, to pray for them, to come along to a service like this and remember them, to continue to love them. The messages which people leave on cards with flowers, especially some of those which are left at the roadside, they speak powerfully of a belief that beyond the time and the tears of this world, our loved ones are safe in God's merciful keeping. Now, we live in a society which is increasingly uncomfortable about the whole concept of life after death. The belief in a life after death means that there are consequences before we die, if God really does exist. And so you and I might find ourselves out of step with people around us, people who want to bring life down to only skin and bone and deny that our souls truly do live on. It was over 20 years ago when I went to Greece. It was on a honeymoon. And I remember then seeing roadside shrines and people who had lit candles and left flowers. Of course, that was a Roman Catholic country where faith was important and where faith was also acceptable. This is a month for remembering. We have All Saints and All Souls at the beginning of the month. We have Remembrance Sunday today. We remember those who have gone to be safe in God's eternal keeping. When some people die, their lives are immortalized in stone, in poems, in sometimes epic novels. Their lives are remembered. Others die and it's hardly noticed. The vast majority of us are just ordinary people, and our lives don't merit great biographies. But on special days like this, special services in November, we can gather together and remember those who are not necessarily in the memory of the wider community, but certainly in our hearts. Today, we remember our dead, those whom we love but from whom we're separated. We give thanks to those who by their lives lit up our lives. We remember the special ways in which their lives touched ours. And we acknowledge that their passing has left a gap in our lives, that we feel a continuing sense of loss, not for a week, not for a month, not for a year, but for a life. We'd never get over it, not as long as we ourselves draw breath. Yet our loyalty is not just about missing and longing. It's not just mawkish or sentimental. It's also a sign of our trust in God and his promises. We look back with thanks. We look forward with hope. When we pray for them, we show our trust in God for the future. Amen.